It is a great joy again to be in the house of the Lord, and we read together Matthew chapter 5, from verse 10 to verse 12. Those using the Pew Bibles, it will be page 810. And the title of this message, as we continue on our series in the Gospel of Matthew, the title, Blessed Are the Persecuted. Blessed are the persecuted. I'm reading from verse 10 to verse 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Let us bow down then in prayer. Our gracious God, our gracious Father of heaven, we come before you this morning in the mighty name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to thank you for everything that he has done for us, everything that he is for us, everything that he means to us. All the grace and the love we experience in our lives through him, and the freedom of worship that we have in this place. We thank you for what we are doing here at Sovereign Grace Bible Church, where you are turning sinners into saints, where you are uniting nations, tribes, people from everywhere, oh God. You are bringing them together in the power of your gospel. Strengthen us then this morning, we pray in the name of Jesus. Help us again. Help us to see the beauty of saving Jesus Christ faithfully. Will you come, oh Lord, this morning by the power of your Spirit? Will you be pleased to reveal to us again your grace and your love? Speak to us, oh God, this morning. Your people, your servants are listening. Speak to us. We wait upon you. We ask that you speak to us and say the word that is needed and necessary to be spoken this morning. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We say amen. 2 weeks ago, we saw that the believer is now standing right with God. The believer is already at peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And the very peace of God then turns us, the believers, into peacemakers. We remember that. And which means then we are entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. We are given the opportunity or the responsibility of pointing people back to God. In other words, people are going astray. Our job is to point people back to God through the ministry of his words, remember, and also through the ministry of our conduct, the way we conduct ourselves among the people. That is the ministry of reconciliation. The word of God that has been preached, the word of God that is read, the word of God that you read in your own special time, and the conduct that we carry out to the people in the world. And that becomes then a proof that we are the blessed of God. But most importantly, that on that last day, when he returns, when he appears, it shall be revealed to the whole world that indeed we are the sons of God. So this morning we speak about persecution. There are many examples that we can draw when we speak about persecution, especially Christian persecution. But of course, we do not have time to look at different examples. But we all know that the world persecutes those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that in most African countries, Christianity is considered a threat. Then people are being killed for believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this beatitude this morning, it agrees with that. It says that there is indeed that conflict which exists between the children of God and the children of the devil. There is that conflict which exists out there, and is in a form of persecution that we see that these things exist. There is a conflict between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman who is Jesus Christ. And that conflict carries on in a form of persecution in this world that we live in. Why? It is because people cannot handle the truth that Jesus and Jesus alone is the Savior. Jesus and Jesus alone can set the woman free, can set a man free from his sin. People cannot handle the fact of the fact that we bring unto them that without righteousness, the righteousness of God that comes through Jesus Christ unto us, no one shall see the kingdom of God. People will not accept that. They want us to believe that everyone, it doesn't matter what route or way that you take, at the end of the day, we all get into heaven. But the Bible says, only through Jesus. And that is the ministry we carry over. And that is why then the Christian is persecuted. Because we say Jesus and Jesus alone is the way unto God. They cannot handle the truth that their future is certain. Their future is not with God. And our future is with God. Why? We have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ's Son as the commandment that God gives unto us. If you have believed unto Him, you have believed unto that name. When we say believing in the name, it's not believing that there is a name called Jesus. Believing in the substance and the essence of who Jesus is, the Savior and the Lord, the one who saves you and guides you and keeps you on the path of righteousness. We have believed that. Then persecution comes. So as we carry this ministry of reconciliation, as we move to the people and say, peace, have peace with God, then the people, according to the word of God, they persecute us. As we try to help them, their response is not a pleasant one. It is persecution of different forms, as we shall see later on. I'll show you different forms of persecution that come, but they bring persecution in different forms. Sometimes you wouldn't even think it is persecution. For instance, you may not think this was persecution. Not long ago, a month or so, Baba Myakeni was told to shut up and stop irritating the people in the church by keep on saying Jesus and Jesus alone is the hope for all men. They told him to shut up or else they're going to just beat him up. You might not think that is persecution, but it shows the enmity, it shows the anger, it shows the hostility that is there between the children of God and the children of the world. Not long ago, Baba Ras was lied about. His best friend lied about him on Facebook, saying things to accumulate friends on his side, saying things that Ras never said for the sake of the gospel. You might just not think that is persecution. The world is against the Christian faith. But Jesus says in the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 22, they shall separate you from their company. In other words, you will lose friends and you will lose family for the sake of the gospel. So as far as we are concerned, then the message of persecution is not a threat message unto us. It is a message of promise. God has promised it, and it shall be as I'm going to prove it to you. But as for these Jews sitting here, listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, dominating this crowd, the Jews dominating the crowd here, listening to this sermon on the mount, hearing Jesus saying this is very shocking unto them. Saying to a Jew, you will be persecuted if you follow me. This is a turn off. It's a turn off. It's a message that will lead the people not to follow this man with the name of Jesus. Why must we follow this guy if we will be persecuted in his name? This is not the message they expected to hear from a Messiah. Because most of the Jews, they believe that if you suffer persecution or any kind of persecution that may come, regardless of what it is, if you are suffering, that was an indication that God was not on your side. Unto them it was like that. It was an indication as well that there was wickedness in your life. But Jesus Christ says, no, suffering for the sake of God is not an indication that God is not your side. It's actually an indication that God is on your side. You are a child of God. You identify with Him. It's a shocking message unto them. The very Messiah they were waiting for to liberate them from slavery says they will be persecuted over again. Meaning that whatever they were persecuted about before, whatever they were persecuted for, does not count as persecution for righteousness' sake. As we shall see later on. So they will be persecuted. They are shocked to listen to this message. This is not what they expected to hear from the Messiah. Because this is a people who has been waiting on the Lord, gazing, looking unto heaven, hoping that one day God will send a deliverer. Now this man, who claims to be a deliverer of the people, says to the people, they will be persecuted. As though the persecution they went through was not good enough or was not enough. He says, they will be persecuted. The question is, what's wrong with this Messiah? Or else, what's wrong with this church? Because this church does not promise people that they will have a life of bling and milk and honey here on earth if they are faithful to God. But persecution is coming for them. What's wrong with this Messiah? So I want us to look at three things in terms of persecution. I want us to look at the reality of this persecution and its positive effects in three ways. Firstly, I want us to look at the cause for persecution. What should cause this persecution? Because if Jesus says there is persecution, then there has to be a biblical ground for it. Which is why then when you look at verse number 10, what does verse 10 says? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There is the cause, brothers and sisters, for this persecution. The cause for this persecution is righteousness. You will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. There you were sitting thinking that if you will be righteous, then righteousness should lead to a life of milk and honey. Yes, Jesus says, righteousness will attract persecution in your life. Your life characterized by obedience to God will attract enemies for you. Not your church attendance, not your singing, not even your evangelism, standing on a street, giving flyers and saying nothing, but a life of righteousness. That is an inward life. Things that people don't see with their eyes. Righteousness will draw persecution unto you. Anyone can stand in the street and give a flyer. The Jehovah's Witness stands there and give flyers. Nobody bothers them. But I'm telling you, friends, be a righteous Christian and stand there, give a flyer. It will be different. The Bible says you will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. So if you will be a true Christian, a genuine believer, what is coming for you is persecution. You will be persecuted because you attach yourself to Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You will be persecuted with Him and like Him. Because He lives in you. That is why when Paul persecuted the church, Jesus said to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" So you'll be persecuted with him and like him. We all know how he was persecuted. Why? For the truth that you speak and the good deeds that you do. One writer put it this way: persecution divides between those who are truly controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and those who are really going on playing games in the church. It separates between the two. Only those who are attached to Jesus are the blessed, but will be persecuted, are the ones that will suffer for righteousness' sake. Verse 10, if you look at verse 10 and verse 11 together, you see there an agreement between the verses. What verse 10 does is explained by verse 11. So there's a mutual agreement between verse 10 and verse 11. There is something that is parallel, a parallel that is worth looking at, worth noticing. Verse number 10, it says, you'll be persecuted for righteousness' sake. What does verse 11 says? It says, you'll be persecuted for me, my sake. That is Jesus. So Jesus equates himself with righteousness. So you will be persecuted for Jesus, and you will be persecuted for pursuing a life of Christ in this world. So what is this righteousness that you are persecuted for? It's not your works, but it is the life and the work of Christ that is in you. That is what verse 11 says. The righteousness speaks of your union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be persecuted for him because you pursue to imitate his life here on earth, as the scripture actually tells you to. So you'll be persecuted for taking a right stand on social and moral issues, especially these days. There are many issues that we as Christians need to take a right stand, and then you'll be persecuted. For having a biblical view on issues of this world, for refusing to bow to the system of evil and wickedness of this world. You'll be persecuted once you begin to define your standard of life as the standard of God. Who are you to say your life is the life of God? You'll be persecuted for all those things. Once you stop following the spirit of this age, once you stop following the advice of your friends, once you refuse to accept what is called civilization today, those things pushed down our throat and enforced unto us by media, soap operas, and Facebook, you will be persecuted for not following those things. Who are you to say other people's rights are not right? Everyone has got a right. You'll be persecuted for standing for the truth. You'll be persecuted for proclaiming the gospel. Persecuted for telling people that they need to turn to God or they will burn in hell. You will be persecuted. So the point that Jesus is making here is that his followers will be persecuted because of the message of righteousness they carry to the world and the message of righteousness they actually live. That is it. Nothing else. The message of righteousness and the message that you live. The fact that you will tell people that without righteousness no one will enter into heaven. The fact that you will tell people that they cannot swear or speak ugly or use bad language, or else there will be consequences. You will be persecuted. Who are you to tell me how to speak, how to express myself? You will be persecuted for speaking the truth. You'll be persecuted for telling people that they cannot abuse women and children and get away with it. You'll be persecuted for saying, men, you cannot marry a multiple of women. Although it might look like a good example from on high, but it's not how the gospel is or what the gospel says. You will not be persecuted for that. That is what Jesus is talking about. For taking a right stand, for speaking the truth, and for living the truth, for spreading the truth unto others, for being an influence on others. That will bring hatred and enmity between you and your friends. Verse 12, let's look at verse 12. It says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. We'll look at that later, but what I want to bring to you is that verse 12 here highlights that there will be persecution because you have aligned yourself to those who were faithful ministers of the gospel before. Who were those? The prophets. It says, so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. In other words, Jesus says, open your Bible, look back in the Old Testament, learn how the prophets were persecuted. Exactly that is coming for you. And you might sit here and think this is actually so depressing, not encouraging. No, hold on, you will hear as we go on, how is this actually good news? How is this actually a blessing, as Jesus claims to be a blessing? Friends, the persecution will come because we refuse to conform to the standard of this world, because we confront the world with the truth. That's why persecution will come. We would rather suffer now than suffer later with those who will suffer later. Rather than having a good life now and suffer the wrath of God in the life to come. So the persecution comes because Jesus has sent us into the world. He's the one who said, go unto the world and be, as we shall see a few weeks to come, to be a salt of the world. Go into the world and teach the people my ways. So the persecution comes because you are sent by Jesus. Maybe that doesn't sound nice to you. Because you represent Jesus. Maybe that is nicer. You are an ambassador of Christ. That is why the persecution comes. Listen to what Jesus says in chapter number 10. Verse 16 to 23. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. They will flog you in the church, Mnyakin. Not in the street, in the church. They will flog you in their synagogue. And they will drag you before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. And then it goes on to say, a brother will deliver a brother over to death, and a father his children, and the children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Or the one who will endure to the end will receive a reward that is waiting for him. We shall look at that later on. This is a promise, my friend. You will be persecuted for becoming a true reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ to these people around you. You will be persecuted for putting God first in the issues of life and in your own private life. For refusing to sing the songs that they sing, you will be persecuted. For refusing to eat and drink the thing that they enjoy in this life, you will be persecuted. Who are you to judge us? For refusing to dress the way the people of this world dress, even inside the church, for refusing to be like them, you will be persecuted. Who are you? So stuck up in the past. Move on, man. Life has moved on. This is the 21st century. That's what they will say. But you are holding to the standard of God. Young men, young woman, you'll be persecuted even at school or at work where you are, for telling people that this is right and this is wrong. You'll be persecuted if you will say no to the pre-marital involvements. You will be persecuted. You know what I meant to say. If you say no to pre-marital involvements of this life, they will persecute you. If you honor your parents, they will persecute you, because they don't. So persecution, as horrible, as evil as it is, the Lord Jesus Christ says, rejoice when it happens. Why? Because we have chosen righteousness over the wickedness of this world. But I'm still going to bring you good news later on. But secondly, let's look. He says, he speaks of the forms of persecution. We have considered now the cause for persecution. It is righteousness. Now we look at the forms of persecution in verse number 11. It says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Here is Jesus highlighting a few things that we should take note of. He speak of reviling. There's a word there that says they will revile you. What does that mean? It means they will insult you. They will criticize you unfairly, just for the sake of criticizing. That is reviling. Insults and unfair criticism. And he used the word in verse number 11, also persecute. What does that word mean? It means they will follow after you. Persecution means to follow after. The idea is that they will chase you. They will chase you like a lion chasing a deer. The idea here is that they will run you down to the ground and go for a kill. How does a lion chase a deer? The lion doesn't come running to a deer. It comes slow and acts like a friend. Act like he's not even worried. And when the deer looks away, the lion starts running. Then what you see is just deer running, and the lion is chasing. The word persecute means that they will chase after you. They will look for you. They will look for your mistakes so that they equate you with them. That's what this word is saying unto us. Running you down to the ground and going for a kill. It speaks of family persecution. Not people who are far from you, people closer to you. Friends persecuting you. Persecution in marriage. Persecution at work. And he continues and he says, they will utter all kinds of evil against you. In other words, they will talk about you. They will have meetings behind the scene about you. They will be speaking and having caucuses and conferences at home, gossiping about you. Don't tell me that does not happen. I can tell you it does. Not long ago, one of our members was talking to me about it. How his or her friends are making plans and talking bad things behind her scene because she has chosen not to follow their ways, chosen to follow the way of God. That is what this is about. Chasing after you, making plans, talking, becoming groups about you. And you would not see planning all this evil. But what does the Bible say? Greater is he that is in us than the devil that is in the world. God is greater than them. So they will try to hurt you even emotionally. And that includes intimidation. You'll be intimidated at work. You'll be intimidated at schools. There'll be intimidation that goes over and flow through for the sake of Christ's righteousness. They will persecute you physically as well. That's what this Bible, this verse says. They will utter all kinds of evil against you. They will persecute you even physically. They will mock you. They will beat you as they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. They will stone you. Baba Ras knows how does that look like. He almost got stoned for saying Jesus saves, not men. This is serious. It may not be happening here in Olivan, but this is serious, brothers and sisters. But I'll tell you why we are talking about it on a later stage. So I'm keeping the good things at last so that you don't sleep. They will stone you. They will mock you. They will make fun of you. Who do you think you are? They will even mock the dress that you wear, but they will be actually buying that dress if you didn't have it. They will mock it just because you are wearing it. They hate you so dearly. Rejecting you. Friends rejecting you. Family rejecting you. They'll be heaping or piling up of insults upon you as a believer. You will experience severe hostility from the world as a result that you decided to identify yourself with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be verbal harassments, hostility towards you, bad attitudes, bad action, physical torture. Christians have been tortured day and night. Here in Africa, many countries, rape, severe punishment, imprisonment, slavery, discrimination, as I've said. These are the forms of persecutions. Not long ago, we were reading in a paper about a lady in a university somewhere, either I think it was Natal or Cape Town, I can't remember much, but she's been expelled from school. Why? She said, I'm a Christian, I do not condone this homosexuality movement that is going on at school. She got expelled. Just for saying, I just don't believe it. Friends, forms of persecution, they are here. Jesus says, it is here. I know of women who had to choose between their husbands and Jesus. Because the husband is an unbeliever. The head is hard, hostile to God and the truth. I know of men who had to choose between their work and Jesus. I know of youth, like I just mentioned now, who have to choose between their career and Jesus. Because this world is hostile, not to you, to Jesus. How do you fit in? You are the representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are hostile to the truth. And all these, friends, should happen for the sake of persecution, for the sake of righteousness. This persecution must happen for the sake of righteousness, not for the sake of religious beliefs or religious activities. So, what am I trying to say? If you are a ZCC, you're wearing your badge, and you're marching on the street, you're telling people that the Khanyana is the way, then they persecute you, they stone you. No, you didn't die for righteousness. You died because you are a fool. That's what it is. You died because of foolishness. And if you, Sovereign Grace Bible Church, also walk in that street and tell people that this is the best church in Olivan, that is the truth, and they stone you, die. You died because you are a fool. That is not your message. Your message, Jesus saves. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Of course, come to Sovereign Grace Bible Church so that you can be taught the word of God. But the message is Jesus. Can someone say amen? Awuphinde the futhi uthi amen. Shumela njengama charismatic ke manje. Good. I like them, friends. Good. Remember the persecution that happened to Joseph in Genesis, the book of Genesis. He was persecuted, he was hated, almost murdered by his own brothers. Then he was sold to Egypt, to slavery, where he was persecuted in the house of Potiphar. Why? For righteousness' sake. Today, we are forced to accept murder of human as human rights. Evil women and men killing their unborn children want us to say that is human rights. That is a right of the mother. Friends, we are forced to accept this abomination of homosexuality that is out there as human rights. We are forced to ordain woman in ministry as woman empowerment. What's wrong with this world? How can you hate your woman so much that you put them on the negative side, on the wrong side of God? If you love them, why don't you tell the truth? Yes, I believe in women's rights, equal rights. Women are equal with us men. Any man who does not believe that needs to repent. But when it comes to the ministry in the word of God, it's got nothing to do with equal rights. It has to do with what God has ordained. And God is sovereign. But this world will persecute us for that. They will persecute you for refusing to marry homosexuals in this world. It's happening everywhere. That is the message that Jesus is bringing. And when you raise these issues, they say, don't act better than us. And they start searching for your mistake, your innocent mistake that you have done in the past. They're looking to find something. Even if you have killed an ant before, the whole world will know. Because they're looking for a mistake. Friends, that is the world we live in today. But Jesus this morning is reassuring us of his grace and his love. Blessed are you, verse number 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all these kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Blessed are you. You might think the persecution is that far. It is not, my friend. It is close home. Don't you know of women, unbelieving spouses, taking advantage of their husbands, unbelieving husbands, taking advantage of their wives, abusing them? Parents are crying and living in tears and in fear because of their unbelieving children. Oh, friends, the very same people we mourn for, they are the ones who persecute us. The very same people we are merciful to, they are the ones who persecute us. But Jesus Christ says this morning, regardless of what is happening, they may persecute you. Don't stop mourning for them. Don't stop being merciful to them. Because you are a child of God. He says in James, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. You can remember Stephen in Acts chapter number 7. He was persecuted for preaching the gospel of grace. He was persecuted for carrying out this ministry of reconciliation. He was persecuted by the very same people he was trying to help. In the same way, Jesus was persecuted by the very same people he came to save. So don't count it as something that will not happen. If they persecuted Jesus, they will persecute us. But another thing that I want you to see here in verse number 12 is that two things.
Let's read verse 12 again. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is greater in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Two things here. Number one, rejoice, but it is coming. It is certain. Why is it coming? It happens to the prophet. It will happen to you. Secondly, Jesus equates us with the prophets. We are just the same as the prophets, but it doesn't call us prophets. It doesn't mean that now it declares us to be prophets. But what does it say? We are also the sons of God as the prophets. We are given the message like the prophets were given. Although our message is now in a written form, but it is equally important and equally true as the message that the prophets carried and spoke into this world. And for that reason, for the sake of this book, you will be persecuted. That's what he's saying in verse 12. But let's move on to the good news. The third thing, the good news. We have seen the cause for persecution, that is righteousness. We have seen the forms as I've counted them. Now, let us look at the reward for righteousness. There is a reward for persecution, I mean. A reward for persecution. He says in verse number 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Listen, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then verse number 11 comes in to agree again with verse number 10. Verse 11 says, your reward is great in heaven. Friends, brothers, and sisters in the Lord, there is something waiting you in heaven, for you in heaven. There is a great reward awaiting you in heaven. There is something worthy persecuted for in this world. What is it? You inherit the kingdom of heaven. We have spoken about this before. The kingdom of God belongs to you. All the glory, the beauty, the splendors of heaven one day will be yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Regardless of the outcome, regardless of the trouble of this world, regardless of what they take you through in this world, Jesus says there's a reward for you, a reward that awaits you in heaven. You will be in the presence of God, where you shall receive the crown of righteousness. That is good news. He says, rejoice. In other words, both the persecution and the reward must cause you to rejoice. Is it possible to rejoice? Humanly speaking, this is difficult. But Jesus says it is possible. We have seen it in the life of Stephen when he was stoned for righteousness' sake. The Bible says, he, that is Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he looked unto heaven. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand side of God. He rejoiced, although he was in pain, because there is something beautiful that awaits him. There is a reward that is in heaven. We have a reason to rejoice. Jesus says, be exceedingly glad. In other words, jump, limp with joy. There is something for you that is in heaven. In other words, then, friends, we cannot compromise the message of the gospel because there is persecution, because our friends do not like us, because the world rejects us. We will not compromise the message of the gospel. We will not fit in with the standard of the world, but we will live in the righteousness of God. Regardless of what my neighbor feels or think about me, I'll look unto Jesus and I will think of the glory that awaits me. The Apostle Peter says in Peter chapter 3 verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. So have no fear of them, those who persecute you, nor be troubled about them. Your God is greater than your enemy. Can I have amen? Your God is greater than your enemy. You will be blessed in the kingdom of God. So don't give up. Don't give the enemy a reason to rejoice. So as we go out, as we, me and Baba Miak, we almost got stoned in another house here. So, but as we go to do those things, regardless, the reward is great in heaven. So we must always look unto God. Why should you look unto God? Why should you look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith? Because this is difficult. Friends, nobody enjoys to be stoned. The problem is not that we are afraid of dying for Jesus. We are just afraid of the way we will die. Nobody wants to be poked with a knife on the side. That is true. But we are not afraid. Be not afraid of dying for Jesus. I understand. The means of dying may be challenging. Everybody is afraid. Jesus also knew what was coming for him. The means. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is not, because it's going to go through this hard thing. But let us be willing to be persecuted and die for our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not forsake the faith because people are persecuting you, because they say things about you. Hold on. What does the Bible says? Your reward is great in heaven. Remember the promise of God. He says the suffering of this present time are not worthy compared to the glory that will be revealed in heaven for you. This reward is certain, my friend. Jesus is saying this. If you don't really think it was certain, I think you believe the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22 verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. And I will give every man according to his work shall be. This is Jesus Christ speaking. This is real. The persecution is real. The reward is real. The pain is real. Our joy is real. Keep on living in the light of the gospel. In the light of Christ. So what does this message do? It's just an encouragement of keep on living in the light, in the ways of God. Carrying on living godly, even in this ungodly world. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, we shall share this glory in heaven. Colossians 3 verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also will appear with him in glory. Friends, this is good. When Christ appears, you will appear with him in glory. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, henceforth, or beyond this, in the life to come, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me. The Lord is ready to award and waiting to award those who live the life of righteousness in this world. He says the crown awaits me on that day of the Lord. But not for me, as Paul. He continues to say, even to those who love his appearing. Those who live in accordance to his will and word in this world. The crown is waiting for them. Those who live not according to the ways of this world. Those who will not conform to the standard of this world. Those who will not walk in the ways of sinners. Those who will not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. Those who will delight in the word of God day and night. There is a crown awaiting them in heaven. So my friends, my brothers, my sisters, do not fall prey. Do not be a victim of the false prophets out there telling you that when you live a faithful life, you will have your reward here on earth. No, my friends. The Bible says your reward is in heaven. Your best life is not now. Your best life is to come. Doesn't mean you must not flourish in life in this world, but that's not your best life. If you have billions in this world, that's not your best life. But to the sinners out there who speaks like this, who are demon-possessed, that will be their best life here on earth. Because wrath is coming for the untruth speeches they say in the church. Do not be deceived. God has not forsaken you because you are poor. God has not forsaken you and rejected you because you don't have a husband or you do not have a wife. God has not forsaken you because you are sick in the body. You can raise your own head. God has not forsaken you because your children are causing you headaches. No. Your best life is still to come in the presence of God. There's a reward that awaits you. So you have a right to say in the deepest of your soul, Jesus is mine and I am his. I will suffer as he suffered. The righteous one was persecuted and suffered for me, the unrighteous. To bring me to God, he suffered. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despising the shame. And now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God for me, interceding for me. I will rejoice. So I will not give up. I will suffer and receive my reward. I will enter the glory of God. There is joy that lies ahead this life. There is joy that is set before me. The joy of seeing Jesus in glory. The joy of seeing God and worship at his footstool is awaiting for me. So persecution does not intimidate me. Persecution does not threaten me. It reminds me of the reward that is set before me. That's what it is. Jesus says, let it remind you of the reward that is set before you. Which is why, my friend, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? It is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And for I am sure, this is Paul saying, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Ngelo amen futhi. Friends, the wicked world cannot tolerate those in the eyes of the Lord are counted righteous. But do not see death as a curse when the world hates you. It has to be like that. Why? Because it shows that you have a different destination than them. There is a reward that awaits you. There is joy that awaits you. But as I close, my friend, let me say this. To those who are not persecuted, like our brothers and sisters throughout the whole Africa, there is great persecution. To us who are not persecuted sitting here, what must you do? Weep tears for them. Weep tears for them. But as you weep tears for them, rejoice with them, because there's a reward for them. Rejoice with them as millions and millions are entering into the kingdom of God through this persecution. Jesus becomes known because people are persecuted for Jesus. People didn't know there was Jesus. Now they know that those people are suffering because there is a name that is above every name, in whose name every knee shall bow. Rejoice with them. But also pray for them. Pray for them that they may be strengthened, my friends. But also, let us pray for us in this country. Let us pray for us as a people, that our sins may not quicken the wrath of God. The sins of this country, that it may not bring quickly unto us the wrath of God. Let us pray that our children may not suffer the consequences of our sins. Let us pray that we may also not suffer the consequences of our father's sins. But at the end of the day, rejoice. Jesus is known even through persecution. And let this persecution be persecution because of righteousness' sake. But if you are here among us this morning, you are not of Jesus, you are of the world. You have not given your life to him. But at the same time, you do not hate Christians. You do not persecute anybody. Which is why you actually here. You love Christians. The question is, what is your reward? Is there a reward for you? The Bible says no. There is no reward for anything and no one else outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fool yourself by following a crowd that worship God. You need to turn to God. Repent from your sins. Turn away from your sins. Call upon Jesus Christ and be saved by the power of His gospel and the Spirit of God. You cannot fool yourself, because God is only pleased with righteousness. Nothing else but righteousness. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning to remind us of your truth, O God, that there is great conflict and enmity between the children of God and the children of the devil. But we are grateful that you have promised us a great reward that is in heaven, something we cannot even understand in a way of explaining, O God. I don't even know how it will feel, how it will look like to gaze upon the beauty of Christ. But there awaits us this morning, we are reminded that, O Heavenly Father, may the cause of our persecution be righteousness. May, Father, the forms that comes, the forms of persecution, find us standing, rooted in your weight, not people tossed to and fro by the silly things of this world. May we gaze upon heaven, awaiting the reward that you shall give unto us when you appear. We ask that, Father, you may strengthen your children to live in accordance to your will, regardless of the ungodly friends, families, husbands, and wives. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. The Church of God say amen.
Amen.
Friends, brothers, sisters, I hope to see you again next week. Be blessed.